Let's pray, and then I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. Father God, we tell you we love you. Holy Spirit, you're in this place. God, we meet to glorify and honor you today. Lord, there's a lot of things going on in our world. God, there's things, Lord, we don't even understand, and we're not meant to understand them. So, Lord, we give you this time, praying, God, you'd help our hearts to just focus on you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about how other pastors go about deciding what God's speaking to them about when they're going to share some thoughts, but I always start with the question of is two things is, one, what's God trying to teach me at this moment? And where are the people at that God is going to allow me to share with? And I think this morning, one of the things that I settled upon earlier this week is the word peace came to mind. Now, I don't know where all of you are. I don't know what all of you have had going on in your life. But I know that peace is something that's been eluding me lately. And there's a lot of reasons why it's been eluding me lately. But I think one of the reasons is because my mind, when you're a task-oriented person like I am, and you think of all the things you want to get done, and then you think of all the things you need to get done, you start to think, wow, I'm getting overwhelmed. When I show up the building during the week here, and I think of the things that that we'd like to get done and all the other things that the people I want to call and the people I want to minister to, I think, wow, there's only so much time in the day, God. How am I going to get all this done? And then I find, before I realize it, I've got myself worked up into a frenzy. And I have to take time and say, wait a second. God's got this all under control. And then as I go and I talk to people, I find that I'm not really the exception. I'm kind of the rule. As the people I talk to, there's a lot of people wanting to get a lot of things done, but yet just seeming being overwhelmed. And one of the things about sharing with you this morning is I thought about how we could break up into groups and talk about this, but I didn't know how long it would take y'all to get these pews in a circle. So this morning, we're going to have a little interaction time, but mostly it's just kind of me sharing with you my heart, because I think this is where a lot of us are. I believe that in my heart of hearts, okay? So my first time, though, I'd like for us to share is, oh, I love the way we got these so close to us now. Number two. Just a very simple opening question for us is this, and anybody want to share, it's open mic time, is what is the world's definition of peace? What is the world's definition of peace? But what is God's definition of peace? Okay, I'm not going to read it to you just yet. But I'm going to give you in a few moments the biblical definition of peace. But first, let me ask you some questions, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being like really full of or at the top level, on a daily basis, how full is your life of worry? Of 10 being you're just worried completely, full of worry. On a daily basis, how full is your life of frustration? On a daily basis, how full is your life of anger? Scale of 1 to 10, just evaluation questions for you to think about your own personal life. And two more. On a daily basis, how full is your life of God, where you can sense His presence? And the last one is on a daily basis, how at peace are you? How at peace are you? Really, how much at peace are you on a daily basis? Got a couple slides I want to show you. The first one, go ahead, John. See these pictures? Now, I had a million to choose from, and I just happened to choose those four. You don't have to admit it, but do any of those describe you pretty much on a regular basis? Now, I'm not asking for open mic time. I'm just asking you to think about it. Does that describe you on a pretty regular basis in some form or fashion, okay? There's a lot of things I could make comments about that, but I'll refrain to try to stay spiritual today. But there are a lot of things that go behind all those pictures. And although probably on a daily basis you feel like one or all of those? How does it bear fruit, though, in your life? What does it look like when it really comes out? John, go to the next one. I want you to look at these pictures, though. Now, that one will be, see the feet kicked up? That'll be dusty next week at Clark Hill. that was a prophetic picture for Dusty in there.
This week, while everybody else was working.
Confession time. The reason why I put the laughing Jesus in there is this. So often we put the way we feel as if that's the way Jesus feels at that moment. And most of us don't ever picture Jesus as laughing. At laughing about life and enjoying the moment. This is the pictures, some of the pictures I believe describes the way God would like for you to feel on a more regular basis than the other slide of pictures. These are the pictures that to me are just a small snapshot of a full life in Christ. I don't know what all of you think of when you see those pictures, but there's some of those pictures I long for, honestly. I really do. There are some times I come to the end of the day and I realize that I have not taken time with my wife to laugh. I realize I come to the end of the day sometimes and I realize I made some noise, but it wasn't joyful. And I realize that I come to the end of a day or end of a week sometimes and that the guy leaning up on something there just kind of relaxing, that God said in His Word I was to rest, and I chose not to. And I realize that I come to the end of a day or end of a week, and that Jesus just wanted to spend time with me so we could laugh about some things. And so we could go back over the week and He could speak to me about some things. But I didn't do it. The first slide is not the abundant life. That's the life that the world, the flesh, and the devil loves to see us in, though. The second slide is more on the path that I believe God's called us to. And peace is something that's obtainable. In fact, I would ask you this question this morning. How certain are you that the peace that the Bible talks about is really obtainable in your life? Or do you believe it's just something that's a fairy tale? Do you believe it's just something that is good to talk about in a life group or on Sunday morning or when someone asks you, how's your life going? Going well. And you're really just lying. Is your life one that says that I believe peace is really obtainable? Because Jesus says it is. He says that I offered it. In fact, John, let's go ahead and go to the scriptures here. Actually, I'll give you the biblical definition of peace. Here's the biblical definition of peace. The tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot. That's literally taken from the word peace in these scriptures and the definition of it. Think about that for a moment. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly life. If I just did that on a regular basis, if our world just did that, if our country, if the Christians did live their life believing that wholeheartedly and letting it work out, let me tell you something, the pharmaceutical companies would probably go out of business. People like Regina would have to find a different line of work. But that's the truth. But that's the kind of peace that Jesus offers. And I just want to look at two scriptures briefly that I believe that kind of summarize it. And the first one is John 14:27. This is Jesus, to me, talking to us. He was talking to the disciples, but He's talking to us today, church. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jobs come and go. We lose family. We lose friends. God calls us to places and to do things we don't understand. But if we are content, assured of our salvation and fearing nothing, and we're content with where God has called us, then we don't have to worry about the definition of the world's peace. Because all those definitions you and I shared at the beginning, those are accurate and those are true. But you know one of the common things pretty much between about all those world's definition of peace? They depend on us controlling them. And the peace that Jesus offers is outside our control. The peace that Jesus offers us is simply having to believe that He is truth and that He is really offering it. Look at the Luke 19:42. I wish that even today you would find the way of peace. The reason why I picked that scripture is I didn't put the whole scripture there. I did put to where the sentence is. The context of that scripture is this. Jesus was looking over Jerusalem and He was talking to the city of Jerusalem. I think one of the things that God is saying to the church today, that's us, is this. I wish that even today you would find the way of peace. If we want to see things be different in our neighborhood, our places of work, in our country, you and I have to tap into the reality that peace is available to us. It's time for us to be living who we say we are, who the Bible says we are. Jesus offered it, so it must be real and obtainable. And as you see those two scriptures, I believe those two scriptures say very obtainable, very much offered to you. But are you grabbing hold of it? So I asked God, I said, okay, God, what keeps us from obtaining this peace? It's a good thing. We can talk about the world's definition of peace. We can laugh at some pictures. But yet, in our hearts today, in our minds today, in our stomachs today, are we settled? Are we settled? I realized something a few weeks ago as I was going up to Peachtree City. Kathy Cameron and I went to Peachtree City, and I was getting ready to do a triathlon. And I was looking out the lake and the swim. I was going to have to swim from basically here. Do y'all know where the Home Depot is down there on Skidaway? Okay, past that. And I thought, man, that is a long ways. And especially when you're not really a good swimmer. And I thought, Dan, you don't have to laugh at me. Just because you get medals for swimming and I don't, doesn't mean anything. Come on now. And I looked out there and I thought, man, that is a long ways. So I asked myself the question, Dane, why do you do something that you're fearful of? And I said, because I have to overcome it. It's important to me to overcome that. So then as I was getting in the water, that red clay leaning on the bank of the lake in Peachtree City there, I promptly fell on my behind and thought I'd broke my back. It hurt so bad. But the interesting part was is that I was in pain swimming. It became a distraction, so I didn't think about the distance anymore. But I had to ask myself, why would I put myself in a position that I would actually take myself out of a tranquil state? That I had willingly chose to do something that I found fearful? And the answer to the question was because I believe I can overcome it. And I do overcome it. As soon as I get in the water, it tends to go away. And I think today, as we think about peace in our world, is that God and Jesus has offered us something that I'm not sure every single day we really think is obtainable. That we really believe it's obtainable. And the reason why I say that to you is this. This week when fear came to you, when worry, when frustration, when any of those other emotions came to you, what did you do to obtain the peace of God? Did you sit and do what I do so often? Go over the scenario in my mind over and over and over? Or did we do what Jesus would want us to do? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. What did you do about it? Is a good question. You see, one of the ways we can come and receive this peace is it's time for us to be what God says we are. And He says we are the salt and the light. He says we are more than conquerors. And I think that one of the things that's so tough for us, church, is that we say we believe. And then when we leave here, we leave life group, and the world, the flesh, the devil comes at us, then how do we react to it? How do we react to the things that cause us some of these emotions that disturb us and bring fears? Well, I think one of the things is this. One obstacle to peace in any of our lives is this. Now listen carefully. Is willingness to accept God's purpose for our life. I believe more and more as I go around and talk to people, is one of the greatest obstacles to peace in our lives is our unwillingness to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. When we do that baptism in a couple weeks, we always ask people to repeat, you know, if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, say, Jesus is Lord of your life. We've got to move past Him being our Savior to Him being Lord of our lives. And as you think about God's will for your life and staying on the course that He's called you to do, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but these things, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Those are things that are obtainable to us as we're seeking Him and as we're walking on the path that He's called us to walk. It is very hard to be at peace when we're fighting the will of God, isn't it? Very, very difficult. And understanding something, seasons. We don't talk about it a whole lot. We have mentioned it here since we came to our new meeting place that we don't know how long we're going to be here. I've thought about that, by the way, quite often the last couple of weeks as we're standing out thinking, God, if you don't let us stay here very long, you're not going to talk about this. Now, I'm telling you, we're building that monstrosity, that battleship back there, and I'm thinking, God, if you tell us to leave from this place very soon, we're going to have to do something, okay? Because there's a lot of efforts gone into this by a lot of people, and that's just the truth. I know you laughed, and I was saying it jokingly, but that's the truth. I did talk to God about that last week, and I swear, I said, God, please don't move us on too quick from here. Because I'm not sure how much energy I got to do another one of these if it's the same scenario. But do you understand that staying on the course that God's called you to, but understanding the seasons? Think for just a moment. We don't have any of our medical people, doctors in here, do we? Think about if a doctor tried to treat patients before he ever went to school. He said, well, I'm called to be, God called me to be a doctor. Okay, that's true. And then he went out and he started treating patients, but he never had any medical training. It would be ugly, wouldn't it? You know, I think I've been to a couple of those guys, but that's for a different time, okay? Do you understand, though, that when God has called you to something, understand what season you're in, though. We have to understand this season that we're in right now. As a church, as individuals, as the body of Christ in this neighborhood, in this city. Because I think one of the things that God has reminded me over and over, and I remind you guys this morning, is while we're thankful to be here and we're in this neighborhood, God's vision is bigger than here. It's bigger than 1914 East 52nd Street. That's the address of this meeting place. It is bigger. But we have to keep it in the right order or it becomes frustrating. It becomes agonizing. And we lose that peace. So I think that one of the big things is are we staying on the call that God has in our life? I read a little quote from Peace Corps this week. It says, it's not up on there, so you're going to have to listen short. It doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. It is very frustrating to say, I want to live a life that has meaning, but then we don't go out and live the life that God's called us to. And I don't know how all that works out in the nuances of your life, but I want you to know that God has the details also. I think something that's very frustrating is we do hear from God, and then we say, okay, God, I've got it from here. I'll take over. And God says, wait a second. I've got the whole plan, not just parts of it. I'm not asking you, church, to add to my plan, God's saying. I've got the whole plan. And one of these things is as you think about worry and anger and frustration, it is very, very trying to move forward in God's plan when you're full of worry, when you're full of frustration, when you're full of anger, when you're full of wondering, God, what is going on here? I thought I heard you clearly. So often we do hear God clearly, but we don't let Him finish the sentence. We don't let Him finish the paragraph. And God probably is wanting to say more to us than we can ever imagine. And I believe as part of that, guys, is that we have to remind ourselves to think eternally today. Remember that you and I are going to live forever with Him. But as part of that plan is when's the last time that you gave thought to where your neighbor's going to stay forever, where your coworker's going to stay, where you have a family member, where they're going to live forever? Where's the guy that you see every time at the checkout line? Kathy and Cameron and I stop at the McDonald's on Abercorn on the south side a lot of Sunday mornings. And this lady named, I guess you say her name, Pillar, I don't know. She waits on us every Sunday morning. I have never given any thought where her eternal destiny is going to be. But yet I see her every Sunday morning. And she's working there with a smile. She's pleasant. Part of our frustration, lack of peace is that we spend so much time thinking about ourselves that we never think about anybody else. And since that's not God's way, peace is being stolen from us. So I'd encourage you, are you on God's plan today? And how much time do you spend thinking about others? How much time do you spend thinking about, I'm here and God has called me to make a ripple? You know, when we do that cookout on August, whatever, there's intentionality that we're going to have music out there. We're not going to try to be real quiet and pretend we're not here. We want our new neighbors to know we are here and to see the beauty of this congregation, what God's called us to be. We're not going to try to be real quiet. We're going to be playing games and playing music. We're going to be laughing. There's a reason. We believe that we have something great to offer this area of town, and we want to offer it. If you don't believe you have something great to offer somebody, then you won't live a life that says, look what I have to offer. So you live in your life what God's called you to do, and are you thinking eternally? And a couple more things is this. Are you staying connected to others? Are you staying connected in the community of the body of Christ? Because sometimes when I'm having a bad day and all those worries and frustration, anger come out, one of the best things is when I get to life group and I see other people, it's just something about all that goes away. And the connection helps me. And I believe one of the things that happens there is first of all, I stop focusing on me. Because I'm real good about looking in the mirror and complaining. But when I see other people and we share and we laugh and we have fun, and Julie doesn't bring her cobbler, so we just have to eat something else. But we have a lot of good food in our life group, by the way. Very good food, very good food. But when we're there together and I realize, hey, we're in this together, that it somehow, some way, super spiritually, just simply lifts me up and I feel at peace. I can go to life group sometimes thinking of a list of things that have bothered me that day, and when I get there, I got to tell you something. I don't usually remember them. I really don't. And the last one is this. It's very, very simple. In fact, it's so simple that it's almost embarrassing to say it. Have you ever thought about just simplifying your life? Have you ever simply said, God, here's my list, you do the trimming. And whatever's not of you, I'm willing to let go of it. I'm willing to let go. Kathy and I were having a discussion about whether or not we need internet or something at the house. And Cameron was with us. And he said, well, you can't live without the internet. And I said, well, we used to not have it. And for him, that's beyond his comprehension. You think about how many of your kids have never lived without the internet. Audrey found an old record player that's over there that still works. It's an old record player, the needle and everything. We put a record on it on Friday. It's got all the static and stuff. I said, Cameron, come here. You got to see this. You've never seen this before. And it's just like, he goes, wow, that's cool. Yeah. And I said, one album, and he's got his iTouch with him. And I said, do you realize this one album, you put thousands of these on that thing that's in your hand? But do you see how we think sometimes that we've simplified, but we've complicated? Be careful to not allow the world, the flesh, the devil dictate to you what simplification is or what God's way is. Because it will quickly, won't it? Won't it? You hand over the whatever you would use for your scheduling, a calendar, whatever you would have to put all your activities on, and the world, the flesh, and the devil will be happy to fill it up. We'll have no problem filling your life up with things and stuff to do. So a first review. Are you living on the plan of God? Are you simplifying your life? Or where do you need to simplify your life? Are you staying connected to the body? And how are you doing that? And are you thinking eternally? There are days that I am so grateful that this isn't all there is. I really am. I am so thankful that there's more to life, eternally speaking, than filling my car up with gas, than going to get groceries, than going to get my dog flea spray, to figure out how we're going to get the ants out of our bathroom, okay? Which I don't know that we figured that out yet, but we're working on it, okay? But my point is if I can start to see this from God's perspective, then all that takes on a different meaning. It isn't just doing, it's being. And this peace, I saw you look back, Chris, it's up there too, but this is new to me. This is kind of weird, actually. It's reading that up there. This peace, guys, I believe Christ would say to the church today in America, I wish that even today you would find the way of peace. My last challenge for you is simply this. And maybe it kind of summarizes everything. I like to read about history, and I came across something that I had not read before about World War II. They didn't know during World War II when the Germans were just bombing the you-know-what out of England. The English were getting very, very down. Morale was very low in England. And Winston Churchill got together with his leaders and he said, we have to issue a statement, a very brief statement that our people can carry around and tell one another. And he simply issued this statement, be calm and carry on. Be calm and carry on. And I think one of the things for us that I take from that message today, church, is this, is that the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, didn't have a problem going to the cross because he saw the big picture. Today, as you go to live your own life, be calm and carry on. Be what God's called you to be. Don't try to add to it and don't try to subtract from it. That this peace is really obtainable. It's not something that's only in a fairy tale. But think about how it could affect those around you. Think about how your life could change if you could start to grasp this peace that's so powerful. Let me read that definition to you one more time. The tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot. What's your contentment quotient today? What's your peace quotient today? And I've got one more quote for you. John, I think it's on the PowerPoint, isn't it? Because I knew it. Many people are seeking laughter in their heart when they are really needing peace. Laughter is to a wounded heart what morphine is to terminal cancer. When the medicine is gone, the pain is back. Only the peace of God can truly take away the pain, not just mask it. And our world is in a lot of pain. But the peace of God can truly take it away and not just cover it up and put a Band-Aid on a gushing, hemorrhaging wound. Okay? That's all I've got for you today. I hope you take it home. I hope you own it. I know I need to own it. I'm not going to lie to you. I need to own it. Okay? And I'm very thankful that Christ never gives up on me. So let me pray for us, and then we'll be finished this morning. Father God, may we be mindful today that your word says you're a good father. And that, Lord, when we ask for something, you're going to hand us what we need. And Lord, today we need the peace that passes all understanding. And God, it's only obtainable through you. God, maybe today we need to ask you to show us where we've tried to fill that with something else. First of all, may we confess it, repent of it, and ask for forgiveness. God, we need you today desperately. In fact, God, we need you more than we can imagine. God, I would ask you today to help us to be calm and carry on. Help us to set our focus on you. In fact, God, help us to get a good perspective of something today. You're a lot bigger than the things in our life that we're trying to control on our own. Lord, we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you.